This Bible study resource is brought to you by Preacher Man Milo, a nonprofit corporation designed for the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. It's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast.
Dear Cosette, I love you. You're the one for me. The only one I love. The only one my heart can see. And so I sing to the stars. I lift my voice to the sky so I can be your only man. I want to be your only guy. You ever go to those plays in the theater where the man is singing because he loves this woman who's on the other side of the world? He be singing just like that. He sings and, well, they're on the other side of the stage, but the stage is like supposed to be this big world. Anyway, he's singing because he loves her. He want to get to her in the middle of just like looking for her. He starts singing and she's on the other side of the stage, the other side of the world. And guess what? She over there singing too. She like, I love you so much. You're the one for me. The only love I desire. The only one my heart can see. And I mean, she be doing the same thing he doing. It's like, okay, y'all love each other for real, for real. And I actually want to use that scenario to show us in some kind of way how that depicts for me the joy that we have because of Jesus, because Jesus puts a joy deep down in our hearts. And we're focused on joy today because it's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast. My heart is so happy that you're here with me. You're the only one. The only one I see. I am so happy too. I'm so glad you're finally near. I can let go of my scary moments without you. I now have nothing to fear. All right. Yeah. You guys found each other. How dope, because you were on the other side of the stage, the other side of the world, and now your love found each other and you're so happy. I actually want to use that scenario to set up what I think we should see about our joy in Jesus. So keep a pin in that one because I'm going to talk about that on the other side of this episode. But I first want to say hello. And I want you to know that we're focused on joy today. And the reason we're focused on joy today is because we're in a series called Pizza Party. But Pizza Party is really about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when I say fruit of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about what Apostle Paul told the Galatians in chapter 5 at verses 22 and 23 when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he says joy. And after that, he says peace, then patience, then he says kindness, then goodness, then faithfulness, then gentleness, and finally, he says self-control. So we're going to go over each of those elements that Apostle Paul talked about. In our last session, we went over love. I really want you to listen to that one because love is really very, very important. And the last episode made that point. And I think you need to understand that before you can really appreciate today's lesson, but it's up to you, right? But love, now we're on joy, and later we'll get on peace. And I want to remind some and reveal to others that this is a series that's free, but there's also a free workbook. If you go to preachermanmilo.com and just click on the pizza party link on the front page, it'll take you to a downloadable spot where you just click the pizza party workbook and it downloads a multicolor workbook that is designed to be a companion guide for you with this series. So for example, last week we focused on love. That's page 5, and you could answer the questions. You can use the section for notes. You can use a section to write scriptures, and there's even fill in the blanks that help you understand the heart of each lesson. And the very next page, page 6, that's today, that's joy. So I really hope you decide to download the free workbook to really get the most out this series. But today we're focused on joy, the joy we find because of Jesus, and we're going to try to understand that better. So as we aim to produce the fruit of the Spirit, we can understand what that looks like and what that really means. Welcome to the Preacher Man Milo podcast. I am your host, and guess what? It is a joy, like a true joy, to be your host. I want us to pray so we can get into today's study. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word, your will, and your way. We know whenever it is we study your word, your word's not going to go out and return void or unproductive. Your word's going to prosper because it is your holy, sovereign word. We just thank you, and we ask the Holy Spirit, guide our heads and hearts. Our headspace and our heart posture is open because we want to be more like you. We want to better understand your words. We can bring you all the honor, glory, and praise. We just thank you as a family, and we pray in one voice, and we pray in that mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, you guys, this is actually Bible study podcast number 66, but for pizza party, it's part 6. We're focused on joy today, and this focus on joy starts right now. I want you to imagine a little girl that's in the third grade, and this third grade little girl is sitting at her desk and doing her classwork, and the way her desk is set up, her back is to the door, meaning when the door opens, she can't see who walks in because she doesn't have eyes in the back of her head and her back is facing the door, but typically she doesn't care because the door opens all the time, and it's none of her business. But on one particular day, the door opens, and all the other classmates whose desk is facing the door, their heads perk up, and they notice that someone opened the door, and someone is standing at the door. And now this little girl sees all of her classmates looking, and now she's looking at them, and she sees them looking at the door, so now she wants to look too. And so she turns around to see who is this at the door. And guess what she finds when she turns around? she finds that it's her father at the door. And the reason her father is at the door is because he's returning home from the military. He's been gone for a couple of years. And so the first thing that he did is went to her school to surprise her because dad is back home. So my question for you is, what do you think the little girl does when she finally realizes, wait a minute, this man at the door is not any old man. That's my actual father. Well, I think we know what she does, right? We've seen it on TV play out in real life. The little girl runs from her desk. She jumps in her father's arms. She's crying uncontrollably. And the reason she's doing this is quite simple. She's found joy. When she found her father at the door, she found joy. I want you to think about that. And I also want you to think about the earlier scenario I've been joking with this romantic couple in the theater where they're singing to each other. They're singing because they love each other and they want to see each other. And then finally, as most plays end, they find each other and they hold each other and they're singing. So why are they holding each other and singing? They found their joy, right? And so when we express joy, we sing or we cry or we express something that says, I am so happy because of what's happening in my heart. But I want you to see the common denominator between these two, because one's crying, one's singing, one's a little girl with her dad, one's a wife and a husband, but they're both expressing joy and they both have the same reason in general for expressing joy. The general reason is they found the one that they know loves them. And when you find the one that really truly loves you, whether you're the wife or the husband or you're the child or the father, when you find true love, you know what else you find? You find true joy. And that's the point I want you to get most out of today's lesson, that the one who finds true love also finds true joy. Let me say it again, because in your workbook, for those who are following along, that's the fill in the blank. The one who finds true love finds true joy. Listen, there is an inextricable link between love and joy that is true. Inextricable, it's a big word. It simply means undeniable. You can't deny the relationship. There is a undeniable, inextricable link between true love and true joy. And because that's true in every scenario, romantic or parent, it's most true spiritually. And so when Apostle Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the very next thing he says is joy, that makes perfect sense to me. Why? Because the one who finds true love also finds true joy. And that's what Apostle Paul is revealing. That's what I'm teaching today. But the person who taught it first was Jesus. And I want to go back to the scripture we keep revisiting, John chapter 15. I want to just read the opening scripture so we can see, you know what? Wait a minute. Milo's right. The one who finds true love also finds true joy. And if we understand the love of God, we'll understand our joy in Jesus. And I want to focus on that because we have joy of Jesus deep in our hearts. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit itself, but must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, I just read John 15, verses 1 through 10, and we've been talking about this section of scripture quite often so far in this series. If you remember, I use this passage to connect with what Apostle Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, and you can go back and listen to part 1, but even in our last session, part 5, talking about love, I went back to this very passage, right? Because what Jesus is saying, first of all, just think about this. Jesus says that he's the true vine, we're the branches, and he says if we're not connected to the true vine, we can't produce nothing. We produce nothing. I want you to think about that for two reasons. First of all, the common sense reason. Don't you realize if there's a vine and a branch is cut off, that branch can no longer produce fruit? That branch has no other purpose but to get old, to die, and to be burned. I mean, he's giving a very common sense picture here about the fact that we have to remain connected to him, right? But notice how he says the branch can produce nothing. That's not just common sense. To me, that sounds like 1 Corinthians, because in our last study about love, Apostle Paul was teaching the Corinthians in chapter 13, and what did he say? He said, it doesn't matter if you have the gift to speak tongues of men or angels, doesn't matter if you have the spiritual gift to move mountains or fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if you don't have love, you have nothing, you are nothing, you gain nothing. And so I want you to see what Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians about, if you don't have love, you have nothing. And I want you to see Jesus saying it first. Hey, you can produce nothing. You can produce no spiritual fruit. So when Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit and the first thing he says is love, it makes perfect sense, because that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you know how I say remain in me, stay connected to me, abide in me? I'm saying remain in my love. I'm going to love you. I've been loving you, and I'm going to lay my life on the line. And the Holy Spirit of truth is going to remind you that I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life. Just remain in me so you can produce the spiritual fruit. And Apostle Paul says it starts with love. But remember, and this is what I want you to understand, the one who finds true love finds true joy. And that's ultimately what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, listen, I need you to remain in my love, not just so you can produce the spiritual fruit, but I want you to know this because I want you to produce the joy and be complete in your joy. So when you're crying or laughing or singing, it's because you found the love that I gave you and it produces you joy. And if you don't believe that's what Jesus is saying, well, don't take my word for it. Just listen to the very next verse, because after verse 10, when Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Here's the very next verse, verse 11. I have told you this
so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Let me say it again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So here, Jesus himself is teaching the disciples, the followers, the students that, listen, I need you to remain in me, stay connected to me, even though I'm about to be crucified. But when I'm crucified, you can't remain in me physically, but you can remain in me spiritually. And the Holy Spirit of truth will tell you the way you remain in me is to remain in my love the same way that I remain in God's love. And now that you see the love that I have given you, not only will that cause you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, but not only that, it's going to give you a joy that's like, I don't know, a daughter jumping in the arms of her father, or like a wife finding her husband, a joy that makes you sing, a joy that makes you cry because you found a love. And when you find true love, you find true joy. So when Jesus connects love and joy right here, does it really surprise you that Apostle Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and then joy? I mean, literally, the Spirit of truth is holding Paul accountable to teaching us about the love of God. And then when you find that love, the more you understand how much he loves you, the more you're going to see the joy that you have and be able to start expressing it when you praise God at home or at church or in your car. You're going to say, God, you know me and you love me. And when I remain in that love, I realize that, wow, I really have a joy in Jesus that no one else can offer me. And I'm going to talk about how you don't let anyone steal your joy. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's John 10:10. So I want to talk about how you make sure that joy isn't stolen by any scenario in the world. But let's just talk about what this joy is about. Let's read a little further. Verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So now he's saying, listen, I've stayed in my Father's love. I loved you. And now you got to keep it going and love each other and watch how this never ending love fest turns into the joy that makes you complete in who you are in the true vine, who you are in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus explains how much he loved them, how much he loves us, since we're also his disciples. The very next verse says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. So he says, listen, I'm going to lay my life down for my friends. And you know what that means? That means that Jesus is truly, this verse right here, what I want you to see, Jesus is the true BFF, right? He's the best friend forever. Why? Because he's such a good friend. He laid his life down for us. And when he laid his life down for us, he gave us access to everlasting life. So when we talk about heaven and we talk about everlasting life, it's because our friend Jesus laid his life down, and he's such a good friend. You know what he did? He laid his life down so that we can have peace with God, so we can get to heaven just like him. But the way he did it, it says, you know what? I'm such a friend that I'm going to make you family. I'm going to give you access to the inheritance of everlasting life, so you now can be sons and daughters of God, because I am the one that's making a way for you. And so now when you think of heaven and you think about this everlasting life that we have because of Jesus, our friend made us family, and now we're God's children. And that's ultimately what this joy is about. And think about the scripture that says this, Revelation 21. Let's just think about what that says really quickly. Revelation 21. This is what John sees when Jesus reveals to him what heaven looks like. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So this small look at the first four verses in Revelation 21 gives us a peek of what's going on in the everlasting realm. And he says, listen, everything's new. That old earth, that old heaven, that old holy city, all that's passed away. God made everything new. And he even made the order of things new. The people that die, the people that get sick, the people that get depressed or sad, all that passes away because there's a new order thing in Jesus. It's everlasting love and peace and holiness and righteousness. And so you now have access to this place because Jesus was such a good friend. He wanted to count you as family and he laid his life on the line. Doesn't that give you a special kind of joy? I know it does for me. Look at verse 5, still in heaven in Revelation 21, verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You see that? Everything new, brand new. Your body, your life, your peace, everything's new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Verse 6 says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. You have access to everlasting life, and Jesus gives it to us freely. And the next verse really explains what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Verse 7 says, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Let me say it again. Those who are victorious, meaning victorious through Jesus, will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. We are now children of God because Jesus laid his life on the line. So we can go from just being friends to being family and being co-heirs with him, now being sons and daughters of God. And what that means is we have a joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away. Our joy is because Jesus is my best friend forever. As a friend, he laid his life down for me. My joy is I now have access to a right relationship with God because of Jesus. My joy is I get to experience the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new order of things because I am victorious through him. My inheritance is through him. And that's the same for you. And I want you to understand that that's the heart of our joy. When you find true love, you find true joy, and now we got to find out how to not let the world take it away because they didn't give it to us. So how can we keep it whenever we have situations that are hard for us? Let's focus on how to keep this joy that is deep down in our hearts.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay.
And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
It is my sincere hope that everyone listening finds that joy because of Jesus. And the reason why is if you find that joy, that means you know his love, because the one who finds true love finds true joy. And so as we close out, I want to talk about producing this so-called fruit evidence, the marks of a Christian character. This is something that happens inside of us. And just like the little girl that jumped in her father's arms or the husband and wife that embraced each other, we sing, we praise, we cry because that joy is connected to knowing that we found someone that really loves us. And we live in a world where people only love you if you produce or you protect them or you look a certain way. And so love is so... it's not the same thing in earth as it is in heaven. Like God's love is this faithfulness that doesn't go away. And once you realize that, I believe that you'll start producing the joy because some of you might have said, when I did my report card that Milo gave me about the fruit of the Spirit, joy wasn't something I produced. Well, I'm going to tell you how to work on that. And I'm also going to give you a little assignment to help you see why the enemy should not steal your joy.
Remember, I think it's John 10:10. It says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come, meaning Jesus has come, so that you can live, and not only live, but live fully. He wants you to be full and complete in his love. He wants you to have joy because of his love. And so that's what we're aiming to highlight today, okay? So first of all, if you say to yourself, self, I'm not a joyful person, I do not produce joy, I want you to spend time focusing on God's love for you. That's it, right? Once you focus on God's love and you understand it and you allow it to be what God has caused it to be, the more you connect with his love, the more you're going to connect with your own joy. It really is that simple, because if you found true love, you're going to express your gratitude and your excitement, right? See, what happens is we start dating people who don't love us the way God loves us, or we see a world that loves us very conditionally. Or we say to ourselves, I know many people who do this, they say, well, I get that God loves me, I understand the concept, but I don't understand why he would love me when I've made these choices, or I don't really see what's lovable about me. And so you're dealing with a lot of blockage mentally and spiritually and emotionally, where you're not allowing the love of God just to be yours. I mean, in that scenario I give, when the little girl jumps in her father's arms, she knows her daddy loves her and misses her. And she can be vulnerable, right? Or the husband and wife singing those songs. Well, they're just so excited to be with each other. They don't care what you think about their singing or their love. They're just expressing the joy they have because they found true love. That's what you got to work on first and foremost, is connect more with God's love. Read scriptures about his love. If you're fasting and praying, try to better understand how that love is showing up in your life. Maybe think about times where God has helped you get out of bad situations or has forgiven you when you've made a big mistake. Like, connect with his love so you can connect with that joy and start producing that joy. And guess what? People will see it. They'll see you laughing, being kinder, and we're going to move on to peace, which is an important part of what we got to focus on as well. But as far as someone stealing your joy, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that your joy from Jesus is inside of you. It's not external, it's internal. And so whenever anything messes up your day, steals your joy, I want you to notice how it's always something external. You know, there's traffic today, or I saw this person and they spoke to me rude today. Well, the traffic is outside of you, right? The person speaking negative is outside of you. So there should be nothing external that can overpower what's happening inside of you. See, many people think they need something external to bring them joy. I need to date this person because I'll be so happy if this person responds to me, or I need to get this job, or I need these external things to happen. Well, if external events is what causes you joy, well, then you don't have any joy inside of you, right? You got to find that place where no matter what I'm going through, I can slow down and say, you know what? Traffic is bad. This person's treating me bad, but Jesus loves me. God loves me. There's a joy in me. I'm not going to let anyone steal that from me. I'm not going to walk around angry or irritated or rude, because I have a joy deep in my heart, and I'm not going to let the enemy steal that from me, because let's face it, the world didn't give it to me. So I can't let this external world take away what's inside of me, because God loves me, and that love causes a joy that nothing can take it away. So if you focus on the fact that joy is inside of you, it's not the result of some external event or person or thing, and then you focus on God's love to develop that joy inside of you, you're going to be producing this fruit of the Spirit. But then you say, okay, wait a minute, Milo, if I'm producing joy because of love, well, why would I produce peace? How does the peace of God make me produce something? And that's the something we're going to focus on in our next session together.
You have been listening to another Bible study episode on the Preacher Man Milo podcast. And in a moment, Milo is going to close out with prayer and final thoughts. Now, if you liked this episode, it would be a good idea to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss the next one. Thanks for listening. Now here is Pastor Milo to close us out in prayer.
God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you that this love that you give us is out of this world, and the joy it causes inside of us is out of this world. This world did not give it. This world cannot take it away. We thank you for safeguarding us from the pain of this world and reminding us that your love causes us to express joy. We just praise you and thank you. We sing your praises, Father. We pray as a family in that mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, you guys. So we finished the session of joy. And as far as the workbook goes, I want you to answer the study question. The study question, I think, says, why is it important not to let anyone steal your joy? I'd love to hear your answers. So if you want to email me at milo@preachermanmilo.com, I'd love to read that answer. And then the workbook also gives you scriptures to write down. I want you to read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, where Jesus reveals what heaven looks like. It's so beautiful. And again, I want you to revisit John 15 with an emphasis on verse 11, because now we see, wait a minute, Jesus says, remain in me to produce fruit. And then he says, to remain in me and produce fruit, it's love. And then he says, it's not just love, but I'm telling you this because I want your joy to be complete. And so when Paul talks about love and then joy, I want you to see the connection there, okay? All right, well, I'm excited to get into peace next time. And peace is very similar to joy, but they are distinguishable. So I'm going to spend some time distinguishing the two and moving on through the fruit of the Spirit. I'll talk to you soon. Until next time, I want you to go with God, and I want you to make it a happy and joyous day in Jesus' name.